Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. The Lord's blessings already added to his word, may it be sanctified to our hearts. And our Father, we ask now that you would still our hearts to listen in expectancy of what you have to say to us through your word. And we give you thanks even now through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The subject that reflects the meaning of the text is a godly man's determination to live by his faith. A godly man's determination to live by his faith. It has never been easy for the Christian to live out his faith in the real world. Sooner or later, you will come upon situations or against circumstances where you are challenged either to compromise what you believe and be accepted by the world, or to stand by what you believe and is rejected by the world. Very often it is not easy to take the stand, make the stand that is required of you as a child of God. We want people to like us, and we don't want them to resent us or feel angry with us. We don't want them to ostracize us. We want them to speak well of us. This, however, often comes up against our faith and our belief. And we are now forced to make a decision as to what we will do, whether or not we will stand, whether or not we will be faithful, or we will take the easy way out. Daniel and his friends, three friends, found themselves in just such a situation where they are confronted with the decision as to whether or not they would remain faithful to what they believe. Let me give you the background to the text. Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, you know them as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. That's the Babylonian name. When Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem the first time, he took some of the furnishings of the temple. And some of the king's family and the nobilities as slaves to Babylon. And after a while, the members of the king's family and the nobilities were in Babylon. The king wanted to make use of their abilities and their talents. So he asked the chief of his palace to look through the young men who were captives from Jerusalem to see those who were handsome and who had aptitudes and abilities. He wanted to select them to attend the Babylonian University in order to be trained to serve as advisor to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king, having selected these young men, set aside a portion of the food from his table to feed these young men. What a privilege. They would eat the food that the king would eat. And in order to give them a real sense that they were welcome and that he wanted the best for them. Daniel and his friends were concerned about the food, the meat, and the preparation of the meat that was on the king's table. Because they maintained their orthodoxies as Jews, which forbade them to defile themselves with eating certain meats, and even the right kind prepared a certain way. And so they decided not to eat the king's meat or the food from the king's table. This sets up a real dilemma for Daniel and his friends, because this could mean their death. Instead of their success, it could mean their death. But the text tells us that they were determined not to defile themselves. The question comes to us is, what would we give up? What would we sacrifice in order to maintain our spiritual integrity? I don't know if you have ever been confronted with circumstances or issues which challenge your beliefs and your faith, and how well you survive, or whether or not you compromise. So we want to see what we can learn from Daniel's decision regarding whether or not to eat the meat from the king's table. So number one, a determination to live by your faith ensures a life of purity. A determination to live by your faith ensures a life of purity. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to do so. Daniel knew what he believed. Daniel understood what he believed. Daniel had a world view, so that wherever he found himself, he believed the same thing. In whatever circumstances he was, what he believed did not change. He had a worldview. He believed something that wherever he was, he believed the same thing. He believed the same thing. Now, to understand a little bit about probably why Daniel and his friends refused to eat of the king's meat, we need to understand a little bit about the difference between the dietary customs of the Jews and of the Babylonians. The first thing we understand, we learn, is that the Jewish laws given by God through Moses defined for Israel the difference between clean and unclean animals. Leviticus 11, 1 through 3 says, of all the animals alive on the land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat any animal that has split hoof, completely divided, and that chews the cud. There are some that only chew the cud or only have a split hoof, but you must not eat them. And then there is a number of animals outlined that the Jews could not eat because it would defile them. The Babylonians had no such laws. They eat anything. They were not governed by rules of purity. They were not governed by rules of purity or rules of ceremonial cleanliness. They lived any way and eat whatever they wanted. But not only was there prohibitions about eating certain foods, there was also prohibition about how the foods were prepared. Leviticus 17:10-12. The Israelites or any alien living among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person, says the Lord, who eats blood, and will cut him off from his people. For the life of a creature is in the blood. Therefore I say to the Israelites, none of you may eat blood, nor may any alien living among you eat blood. There was no such prohibition in how the Babylonians prepared their foods. And so, you could very well see animals slaughtered on their table with blood. But there was no such prohibition as in Israel. Daniel and his friends were now confronted with this marvelous opportunity, great opportunity, of going to the University of Babylon, becoming advisor to the king, but at a cost. There was a price to pay. There's always a price to pay for success. They would have to sacrifice what they believe. Daniel and his friends made a decision. Would they be politically and socially correct or morally and ethically faithful? You with me?
Yes.
Is it a choice?
Yes.
The choice that Daniel and his friends face is simply, would they be politically and socially correct
they determine to be morally and ethically faithful. Consider it, my friend. How often you are brought close to circumstances and situations, whether on the job or at home or wherever you are, where you have to make a decision as to whether or not you are going to stand firm for the Lord. And how often have you decided the price did not worth it? When you go to the polls to vote for a candidate, when you voted last week, when you voted last year for a president, did you vote for a party, a person, or a platform? Think about it. Did you vote for a person, a party, or a platform? If you're voting for a party or a person, it's possible that your faith was not involved. And if your faith was not involved, you had sacrificed your morals for the expediency. The reason we as Christians need to understand the platform on which the politician stands is because we don't want to vote for abortion and not know it.
True. Yes.
That's right.
So there is necessity here, a sense of necessity that you and I, if we are going to live our if we are going to stand for righteousness, if we are going to allow Christ to reign in our lives, we have to go to the nitty-gritty of understanding what does this person believe?
Yes, sir.
Doesn't matter how popular he is. Doesn't matter how wonderful he is. Does he standing on the principles of righteousness and holiness? Want to be politically correct, socially correct, or morally, ethically right? This means that whatever we do, whatever opportunity we have, however we exercise our rights and our liberty, it must be done on the basis that we bring to bear what we believe. That's Christian world view. It is the way we look at life. It is the way we see everything. It is the way we practice the way we live. Our worldview should affect every aspect of our being. There is no secular decision where the Christian is concerned. What we believe has to bear on everything that we do. You are dishonoring God. I hate to know that your right to vote was displeasing to God. Second point. First part is simply that Daniel and his friends chose to be morally and ethically and spiritually faithful as opposed to being politically and socially correct. Second point, a determination to live by your faith
demands resolution against enticements. Demands resolution against enticement. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. Resolved, determined not to defile himself. A great decision, a big decision that he is faced with. Every decision involves several aspects. There is the conflict, and conflict involves in decision. There is the conflict of the approach avoidance, conflict, the approach conflict, the avoidance conflict. Daniel is faced with the approach avoidance conflict in his decision making process. First, the approach, or the attractive aspect of the decision to set aside his beliefs. That's the approach. The attractive aspect of his decision to set aside his beliefs. Here you are, among the captives brought from your homeland. Slaves in a new country. But instead of you living like a slave, your master says, I want you to go to my university, fully paid for. I want you to train to be my advisor. I want you to live like one of the royalties in my palace. What an opportunity, huh? That's an opportunity of a lifetime. That's a moment to seize, that's a moment to grasp. Why would Daniel let some little qualms about eating meat bother him? Why would Daniel and his friends have, you know, have this little weird sense about defiling themselves? Look what they have! Look what is presented to them! Why would they jeopardize such a great opportunity? By refusing to eat the king's meat. But Daniel and his friends had a belief system that guided them, their lives, and that decided and determined what is privilege, what is opportunity, and what is good. They believed something. And they were, in spite of their sumptuous food, can you imagine how many people in Babylon would kill for some food from the king's table? Can you imagine how many of the captives would salivate just to smell the food from the king's table? And here Daniel with a serious qualm. He don't want to defile himself. He believed something. He had a worldview that determined what was right. What was right. So he was able, it wasn't hard for him to say, I cannot defile myself. Oh, some would say that's silly. That's silly. If you young people who sing in the choir, if somebody comes along and discover you and say, I want to give you a contract to sing in the world. I remember a situation where Christian family out in Long Island. The two girls in the family and a guy, recruiter, came to the service one morning, and these girls sang. And after the service, he met with the parents and said, I could give your daughters a contract to become stars. The parents said, all right. But there have to be certain rules. He said, yeah, we know that. And so the girls went to this guy's studio and they rehearsed for a while, and then time came and the parents were called in to sign the contract. And on the bottom of the contract, it says that the costumes that the girls would wear would be the absolute right of the promoter. The costumes would be the absolute right of the promoter. In other words, when they dress them half naked, have their bust bulging out of their chest and their behind half naked, ramping all over the place so the world could gawk at them, that would be success. They would make a lot of money. But where would be their money? Where would be the ethics? Where would be the Christian principle? So that's the approach. The second, the avoidance or the aversive aspect of the decision for not eating the food prescribed by the king. The aversive aspect of the decision. You see, Daniel and his friends could lose their head. They could be slaughtered. You see, when Daniel asked the official that was placed over him if he could withhold the food and give them simple bread and water, here's what the official said to Daniel. I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head. Now if the king would cut off the head of his subject, what do you think he would do to these captives whom he was trying to favor? To have them reject his kindness, insult his hospitality, their heads would be nothing. So listen, if the approach is pleasure and the avoidance is pain, that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. You see, it is easier to go the way of pleasure than to go the way of pain. Isn't it? Both forces lean on the side of compromise. Both forces lean side of compromise. It says, Daniel, don't be a fool. Give up this idiosyncratic feeling or desire of purity and eat the food. Think of it, Daniel. If you become a big shot, you can help your people, can't you? If you become a big shot, you don't have to eat it when you get there. You know, eat it for now. When you get there, you can decide, all right, I ate it long enough, I don't want to eat it anymore. That's what the world says. That's what the world thinks. Because the world does not have a moral and an ethic by which it lives. It does not have the principles of God's word that establish a life of purity. Ephesians chapter 5 says that among you shall not be named any sexual immorality or impurity or any form of such thing. And then at the bottom he says, have nothing to do with any such ones. Not only should you not involved in it. If somebody is part of that, don't have anything to do with it. In other words, you may not make pornography movie, but you shouldn't watch that. You should not be indulged in evil making, but you shouldn't hang out with people who engage in that. Because you have a world view that sets you apart. A few years ago, I picked up in this church, the back of this church, a little magazine. The name of it is Today's Christianity. I don't know if you still get it here. But Today's Christianity. And there was an article. And as preachers, you see hard articles, you stash them away, waiting for the right moment to use them. There was an article in the magazine by that talks about a Latin actor. His name was Eduardo. Eduardo was a Latin actor that made pornographic film, suggestive film, that did ads with Calvin Klein and all those kind of entertainment. And the young lady that was assigned to help him with his English witnessed to him, and he became a believer. And after Eduardo studied the Word of God, was discipled for a while, and he understood what the gospel is, his world view changed. His world view changed. And he made this decision. He made this decision that he would do no more Casanova roles, no more sexy soap star, no more J-Lo videos, no more playing the studly hunk, no more Calvin Klein underwear. If he couldn't get work making films that edify, he wouldn't work at all. That's a man who has had a change of heart and a different worldview from what he used to have, that now he has something to guide him, something to live by, some principles to direct his life. That's what we ought to have as Christians. We ought to have a worldview that would enable us to not give in to the enticements of this world, but stand by what we believe. Thirdly, a determination to live by your faith requires spiritual wisdom in dealing with the world. Requires spiritual wisdom in dealing with the world. Now look at the text with me. Daniel asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. He asked the chief official, the man that was over them, he asked them for permission not to eat the king's food. The official was sympathetic to him, but denied the request. The official was sympathetic to Daniel and his friends, but denied the request because he was afraid of his life. Now, what an opportunity to say, well, I tried. Think of it, my friend. You try to live by your faith. You try to live by what you believe. But then when you seek the opportunity or try to work things out that you live by it, you get rejection. So, well, God will understand. Right? God will understand that you try and you can't do any better. Does it sound familiar?
True.
God knows my heart. I will do the right thing if I could. You're with me, right? God knows that I try and all I get is rejection. Therefore, if the Lord rejects me, it's obvious that He wants me to eat the food. Now listen, whenever we seek to live according to God's will and His ways, we are going to find that it is not easy. We will be rejected. We will be turned away. As a matter of fact, things might get worse before it gets better. You see? You live right on your job, right? You try to do, you do the work, you're faithful, and you live for the Lord, and you do what is right, but when the time comes for you to get a promotion, somebody else gets it. Is it worth it to serve God? If your supervisor says, well, you are too self-righteous, we want somebody that can work with others. We want somebody who is more loose, somebody who is more compromising, somebody who has an open mind. Your mind is closed. You are a Christian. Is it worth serving God?
Yes.
So what did Daniel and his friends do? Fold their arms. He said, listen guys, let's decide to leave this meeting and get it over with. We're only putting ourselves through unnecessary trouble. No. They thought about it, and I'm sure they prayed about it, and they came up with another way. What they did, they spoke to the guard that was assigned to actually give them the food. And he said to them, they said to the guard, listen, we want to do a 10-day test with you. We want you to withhold the fine food that comes from the king's table. We want you guys to have. We want you eat the food. And you give us vegetables and water. And then after 10 days, if we look meager and emaciated, then you can force us to eat. And the guard says, all right, what an opportunity for the guard to eat some good food for a change. The guard says, okay. So for 10 days, God gave them bread, now vegetables, and water. After 10 days, the scripture says that they looked, at the end of the 10 days, they were said, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Now this is strange. Because vegetable and water don't make you fat. Alright? And what we have to understand, in those days, slimness is sickness. If you were slim, you would be considered sick. In those days, you have to be fat and bulgy cheek and robust. That's why they died so early, by the way. But in those days, you looking good means fat, means robust. It means things are well. You are eating good. You're eating good. So here's the question. Vegetables and water make you lose weight. But after 10 days, they look fat and robust. What happened? God can do the impossible. God can do the impossible. Does it seem impossible to you? Does it appear that there is no way, no way out of this situation? You are not trusting. You are not trusting. You see what happened? What happened? to Daniel and his friends is that God honored their faithfulness. God honored their faithfulness and therefore made them look fat. But they should be meager. Because you see, my friend, God is the God of impossibilities. God is the God who does things that cause us to wonder, how is this possible? So tonight, you have problems in your life. You have difficulties in your life. And you're wondering, how are you going to get out of this? How are you going to get around this? How are you going to manage the situation? How are you going to do work through this situation? Oh, I didn't notice something. Though Daniel and his friends were determined not to eat the king's meat, they showed respect and humility. I want you to get that. They showed respect and humility. They asked the chief over them. He said no. And therefore, they asked and make a request to the God and work something out. You see, if they had put their shoulders back and said, well, we're not going to eat this food. It doesn't matter what the king does to us. They might have lost their heads. And they couldn't blame God for their arrogance and conceit. For those who humble themselves shall be exalted.
Amen.
Those who humble themselves. I think of the guy, the Christian man, who could not get the promotion on his job because they said he didn't have the right spirit on the job. He was always angry and he's always getting back and yelling at those who are his superior. You see, there was no humility and there was no brokenness in his spirit. God, you see, if God determines that you get a promotion, not a host in hell can prevent you from getting that promotion. God can work it out for you. But you see, God will have to exalt you. God would have to exalt you. So then, it is not only that we have a world view that we live by, how we live out that worldview, how we practice that worldview, is what God uses to do his work in us. And when we are prepared to humble ourselves, God will do the impossible in our life. You remember Eduardo? Here's what he said. I got to the point where I didn't have any money to pay my rent. That's how bad things got. But he was determined not to defy himself. But he said, I was going through a purification process of changing my past and trying to follow Christ. And I know because of that, I may never work again. I was born to know and love and serve Jesus Christ, and that is my only goal right now. The end result, somebody contacted Eduardo about making godly films, redemptive films, invested money in him, and he was able to begin to make redemptive films. He waited on the Lord. He waited on the Lord. And the Lord came through for him. For those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. You see, my friend, when we have a worldview
by. And when we in humility trust God to see us through the most difficult circumstance, you can be sure that God is faithful and He will not for one moment fail you or fail me. For He is God, holy God, righteous God. It is simply, my friend, it is not only believing. It is not only believing. This is what I want to leave with you. You ought to have a word in you. You ought to believe something. You ought to have a determination to serve God. But you ought to be humble. Humble about this world in you. Because if God is going to work in you, it is not simply because you believe what you believe. It is because you are prepared to trust God. Trust God with what you believe. And our Father, O God, we ask now that you bless your word to our hearts and sanctify it so that as we go from here, we will know the reality of having a world view, something to guide us through the most difficult circumstances of life. But then, to have the spirit of humility to guide us so that you can work in us to fulfill your good pleasure. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.